No. Oh, tough crowd it's going to be this morning. Hey, I hear there's a birthday today. Happy birthday. It doesn't matter. All right, just happy birthday. Yeah, you know. You know. No, I'm not going to sing a song. I know. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. Whew. All right, just as you're getting your Bibles, I want you to ask yourself this question. Maybe tell the person next to you, where would be, now this is where, okay, so I'm thinking place specifically. Where would be the worst place to be when the power goes out? During a surgery in a hospital. Yeah, that'd be a really bad one. But they have power generators. You'll be all right. All right. Rein it in. Okay, so fun story. My family used to take vacations every summer, right? And sometime when I was in junior high, we went to the Smoky Mountains, right? Smoky Mountains are known because they're smoky. So you can't see a lot, you know, all this rain, fog stuff. So we're driving around, and we get to this lookout place. Now, a lookout place is some, like, little shelter sometimes, but it's this place on the side of the road where you look out, and you're supposed to see just this beautiful, gorgeous place, right? But it's the Smoky Mountains, so I don't know why they have these in the Smoky Mountains, because there wasn't anything to see. And I really had to go to the bathroom, okay? So it's really kind of out, it's rainy, foggy, and I make my way to the bathroom. And this isn't like a nice bathroom, okay? This is like one of those, like, they just kind of made like this hut all the way around the circle and then like cut out a door and they cut out a hole, right, for you to go in. Like that's pretty much where we are. So I'm going in there, there's this one little rickety light, and I'm about to go to the bathroom when... Oh my gosh, the power went out. And I tell you what, it was so dark in there. I couldn't see anything. Now, that's a problem when you're trying to go to the bathroom, not being able to see anything. Have you thought of that before? Complete and utter darkness. My bladder is about to explode, and I can't see anything. That was one of the most terrifying moments of my entire life. Right? I don't know what to do. I just have to go. There's no backup generator. My stomach just sank. I'm like, Dad, I have to go, but I don't know where to go. I have absolutely no idea what happened after that. I think I erased that memory from the back of my head. It's pretty scary. Now, where was your worst place? To the hospital. Yeah, that would be... I know they have backup generators, but imagine when they didn't. Yeah, surgery. Ah, we finally, all right, close the heart up. Power goes out. Just stitch. Hope you get it. I don't know. I heard a lot of people bathroom. I heard basements, dark basements. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Guys, there's a really... hard reality, I think, that's happening in the world today. And I don't think it's all that different than every generation before, but I know I feel it more than what I did 25 years ago. And that might be because I'm older, right? But I've noticed that our world is getting dark. We live in what I would call an age of darkness. You know, we desperately need someone to show us where to go. We need light, right? You know, you guys have questions that you need answers to. Who do I date? Who are my real friends? Which political narrative should I believe? Are there really only one way to heaven? Is there anything that I can really trust in this world? Because so many people claim to have the answers. It's just so dark out there. And I think that's one of the joys of Miracle Camp is because there is just so much light here. And again, I'm not talking about physical light, although there is that, obviously. But it's this light of Christ is here and everything seems so clear when I come here, but then I go out into the world and it's just dark. God frequently uses light to teach us about reality, and I think that's the reason why. Because he understands how dark the world can be. And he says, guys, I'm light. I'm light. So we're going to look at another I am statement today, and it's the light of the world. But before we get into the scripture, I want to give you some background information that I think really helps us understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the light of the world. All right, so Jesus is speaking here in chapter 8 in the temple area, and it is actually during a festival that God established in the Old Testament. It's called the Feast of Booths, but some people call it something else, like the Feast of Tabernacles or something like that, right? I think I saw in my Bible it said, yeah, the Festival of Tabernacles. It's booths, same kind of idea, the shelter. All right, now what was the purpose of this? Well, this was actually to celebrate, to remember what life was like in the desert. Okay, God established all of these festivals, holidays, so that people would remember what he did. And this one in particular is to remember that they had these tiny little shack things that they lived in for 40 years. Now, why did they have these tiny little shack things? Because they were constantly on the move. They could not establish a gigantic house, right? It actually would have been a detriment to have a huge house when you're moving every single day. And how did they know where to move, right? Did they just be like, all right, I'm going to go over here. There's some water here. Oh, let's go back here. No, you have a lot of people. Some people are saying like up to 5 million people walking through this desert. You can't just get up and go easily. So what was guiding them? What was guiding them in the desert? What was telling them where to go and when to go? And it was God. God showed up in a huge cloud of darkness during the day. Indistinguishable. You would know where God was, but you're like, oh yeah, there's that big old cloud thing. Yeah, it's God. And at night, that cloud thing would light up. It would light up. Jesus, God, would light up in the middle of the darkness. And when that cloud would move, when that light would move, they would follow. They didn't know where it was going. They had no idea. But they knew that they could follow this light. And if they just followed this light, everything would go smoothly. Everything would be good. And so how did they celebrate this? Well, on the final days of the festival, in the actual temple that is now built at the time of Jesus, it's the second one, there were four lamps that were 75 feet up in the air. And in each of those lamps, they lit the light, and the light would show throughout all of Jerusalem. And this is how they would celebrate this. They'd be like, remember how God led us with the light? Remember that? Here's some light. Let it shine. Let us remember that God is our light. He is the one who leads us and directs us. We can trust him. He brought us to the promised land. He's going to continue to lead us. And so Jesus is speaking at this festival, and he says some pretty strong words for given the history of everything that is going on. So let's go to verse 12 in chapter 8 of John. This is what Jesus says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so all the people in Israel are thinking about this holiday. They're thinking about the time in the desert. They're thinking about this great light that led them through the darkness of the desert for 40 years. And Jesus has the audacity to come out and say, guys, I'm the light. Not this light that you're remembering. That was just a sign pointing to me. I'm the light of the world. I'm the one that you're supposed to follow. I'm the one who's going to lead you to safety. The life that you so long for and desire, I'm the one who can show you the way. No one else can show you the way. Follow me is what Jesus is saying. Follow me. I'm the light. Now, how do you think the Pharisees are going to react to this? They've been following this holiday and lifting Moses up for a long time. Well, they aren't satisfied, and they kind of have this ad hominem argument. Anybody know what an ad hominem is? Yes, one, yeah, two, oh, a few of you, all right. This is it, all right? I'm sure you guys do it all the time. The argument is this. You're like, 2 + 2 = 4. And instead of arguing that 2 + 2 = 4, they'll be like, you're terrible. That's ad hominem. They don't argue against the truth, right? They argue against the person. And so that's what they're about to do to Jesus here. They're like, he just claimed to be the light. I'm going to lose if I start arguing with him. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to attack him as a person. And so this is what they do. And so I want you to think about the argument that the Pharisees make and Jesus's many reasons why you can trust him. This is what they say in verse 13. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. It has nothing to do with the light. They're just trying to get at Jesus. We can't trust you. We can't trust you. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. In some versions, it says the flesh. I pass judgment on no one. And what he says there is, I don't judge like you judge. I don't judge like you judge. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Why does Jesus have authority? Why can we trust him? Why is he the Messiah? Because the Father sent him. We can trust him, for the Father testifies. He listens to everything the Father says, and he does it. He doesn't judge on his own. He only does what the Father says. Jesus, of all people, in complete and total agreement with the Father in heaven. We can trust him. Verse 19, then they asked him, where is your Father? Oh, man, where is your Father? This is what he says. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Whew. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. And I love how he includes that little phrase there because he's like, hey, Jesus was a sitting duck, right? He's making these claims that he's one with the Father. He's calling himself God, in essence, okay? So he's making these claims, and normally that would be like blasphemy, right? So people would come and stone him. So he's a sitting duck. He's wide open in the temple, and he's like, no one is touching him at this point in time because his hour had not come. So they're just sitting there listening to this Jesus fellow say to everybody, I'm God. Me and the Father, we're one. Jesus keeps on going. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is this why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that I would die in your, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. Another reason we can trust Jesus is he's telling us what the Father speaks. Verse 27, they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I think that's another reason we can trust Jesus. Because he's always pleasing the Father. Nothing he does is darkness. Everything is light. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. And we'll stop there today. And so we see Jesus making lots of different claims here about being God himself, the Messiah. But what about the other question? What about the other question? Well, to answer that question, I want to go back. I want to go back to his first claim, the one that I wish he would have spent a little bit more time there before the Pharisees were like, boom, attacking your character. But how is life found in Jesus? How is life found in Jesus? Here's this one statement that I want us to see this morning. When we believe in Jesus, we grow in seeing the world through him. When we believe in Jesus, we grow in seeing the world through him. Why? Because he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we believe in Jesus, we grow in seeing the world through him. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I'm actually going to jump to verse 31 of the same chapter in chapter 8. Where we see a really famous line by Jesus. I mean, this is famous, okay? I hear people who don't know Jesus at all claim this one. They're like, ah! And I'm like, all right. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in verse 34, he explains it a little bit more. He says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but if you know the truth will set you free from your enslavement. The truth will set you free from your enslavement to sin. You see, we see Jesus as he truly is. Because he is light. When we begin to see Jesus as he truly is, we be able to see us as we truly are. We're able to see how we are actually enslaved to sin without him. That we can't get out of our own ways. We're stuck. We're stuck. We see that. We begin to see the darkness of the world. We see just how much we actually need a Savior, not just for one day, but every single day of our lives. We need someone to save us, even from ourselves, but from the world and all of the things that are going on. We need Jesus. So the more we see Jesus, the more we realize we need him, the more we see the world as it is. And there is a growth to that. There is a growth to that. And sometimes it can be actions. And you know what? Sometimes that's the easy one. We can see actions and we can be like, ah, now I see that that action's bad. And I want to avoid that. And I need someone to tell me that that action's bad. But I think there's something worse out there that we have to really have to anchor into Jesus for. And that's the lies. The lies that are out there. In darkness, I can't see a light. In fact, when it was dark, I almost tripped over someone's backpack back there because I could hardly see it, right? Like, that's just how darkness is. So when everything is dark, we can't always tell what's true and what's not true. And so these lies are taught to us, and we have to be able to try to distinguish, is this true or is this not true? Lord, I need Jesus to help me distinguish. So here are some of the lies that we hear that we need the light of the gospel to shine on. One of the hardest ones that I hear for people your age is, be your authentic self. Or you just know. You just know. That's a lie. And unless we have the light shone on that lie, we might just believe it. But when the light of the world comes, He shows us the truth. And what's the truth? It's that our minds and our hearts are corrupted by sin. And we need transformation. I can't trust the way I feel all the time. I can't trust the way that I think all the time. I have to trust in something outside of myself who comes into myself. I have to trust in Jesus and what He says about me, not just what I think about me. And that's huge when we start to think about that way. That's life-altering. Altering. That's it. That's life-altering. When we can go to the scripture and we can say, I actually know who I am because Jesus has told me who I am, instead of listening to all the other people trying to tell me who I am. You're made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. And yeah, you're messed up because of sin, just like I'm messed up because of sin. But Jesus still loves you and wants to restore you into the person He had in mind when He created you. He loves you for who you are and wants to take you to who you even want to be. You don't have to search for your identity. Jesus tells you who you are in Christ. Here's another one. You have to agree in order to love someone. You have to agree with someone in order to love someone. Maybe you've heard that before. Right? Well, I don't approve of what they're doing, but I kind of have to because I want to love them. Is that true? No, that's not true. Jesus shows us a better way. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He comes to this woman who is stuck in adultery. And He says, who's going to condemn this woman? I'm not going to condemn this woman. And yet He still tells her, stop sinning. Stop sinning. You cannot agree with someone and love them. Jesus says that. He sheds that light on the lie that goes through our society. How about this one? There is no purpose, so just go and live. Just go and be you because there is no greater purpose. Just live for yourself. That's where the phrase YOLO came from. Okay, you guys are probably past YOLO. But it was a real big deal like 6 years ago. YOLO, it was a deer. Jump to and fro. All right, anyway, saw a deer yesterday. I didn't, but my kids did. Anyway, guys, that's not it. God gives us a purpose. It's to honor and glorify Him in everything that we do and then join with Him in mission. We have a purpose on earth. That is clear, that in everything we do, whether we eat or drink or anything, do it for God. Give glory to God. Let Him shine. Light in the darkness. We need the light of Christ to show us this. Another one that's so hard in your guys' age is that there's no truth. All sorts of knowledge, but no truth. But if we let the light of Christ shine on us, we begin to understand that there is truth, and it's Jesus Christ. Everything he says, everything he does is truth. We can trust him. He and the Father are one. He shares everything that the Father shares. We can trust him. All of these competing voices, there is truth. Here's one that I find just kind of fun. Republican or Democrat? The world says you got to be one or the other. Doesn't it? What does Jesus say? Kingdom of God, man. Kingdom of God. That's what you're all about. It's not an either or here situation. It's Jesus. Live for the kingdom. Live for my kingdom. My kingdom is way bigger than your Republican Democrat thought processes. Way bigger. You don't have to be all in Republican or all in Democrat. You can look at both and be able to say, hey, kingdom of God first. Kingdom of God first. Here's a fun one, revenge, right? When someone does something bad to me, I have to get them back. That's what the world says. That's a thought process that goes through your ears all the time. Man, they just hurt me. Revenge. What does Jesus say? He shares light with you. He says, no, no, no. That's not your only choice here. Okay, that's a lie. He sheds light on the situation and says, you can love your enemy. That's actually possible. In me. It's actually possible. As the world around us continues to move farther and farther away from God, the more and more important it will be to stay grounded in Jesus. Because he will shed light on the truth. He will lead you when you don't know where to go. He'll let you know what's real and what's not real. What's truth and what's not truth? What's real about you and what's not real about you? Whether that feeling that's going on inside is accurate to the situation or not. Jesus can lead you in that. Let him be your light in the world. He can change things. He is the light that our culture so desperately needs. Most of you are going to go off to college and you're going to hear all sorts of stories about how we can fix all of the problems in the world. What does Jesus say? Guys, I'm the light of the world. Anchor into me and I'll show you the path. I can change people's hearts. I can do this work. I can look at darkness and the crazy darkness that's around and I can penetrate into that and make it light. I alone can do that. I am the light of the world. I want to share a story about a gentleman. How many of you know who John Newton is? Just out of curiosity, a few of you. I just want to show you how Christ is the answer that all of us are looking for in this dark world. So I'm going to read this. I think I got it from like Wikipedia, so... But I've heard the story, so I concur. Yeah, they got it right. This is John Newton. See, John Newton was a British man, a man who earned his wealth by trading slaves. He was the captain of the ship, several ships. So he would go to the coast of Africa, pick them up, sell them, make quite the profit. That's what John Newton did. After a near-death experience at sea, he began reading his Bible. He continued his trade until he suffered a stroke. As he continued to experience transformation and the renewing of his mind by the Word of God, in other words, as light continued to fill his heart and his mind, he wrote this statement, "A confession which comes too late. It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me, that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders. He then joined forces with William Wilberforce, convincing the British Parliament to end slave trading forever. The light of Christ came into John Newton's heart. And the darkness was in there that he was living out and thought was true. Christ says, no, this isn't the way. And he completely changed his direction. John Newton isn't most famous for that. He's most famous for writing about his song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. He wrote that, where he says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, no light, living in darkness. But now I see. Christ was an incredible testimony to John Newton. And if we could just bring that same light to our culture, if we could bring that same light into our own hearts, imagine what this world would start to look like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are light. Thank you that in this world of darkness where we don't know which way to turn, we don't know who to believe, we don't know what to think, that we can trust you. Because you and the Father are one. You and the Father are one. You have all the authority because you are in total agreement with God himself, because you are God and you want to show us the right way. It is your desire, your heart, and we know that if we believe in you, you take this heart and you try to implant it into our hearts, and we can grow in that, and we can distinguish between truth and reality, and we can do what's right and trust you as we live in the light of your just countenance, Lord. So fill us with that light. Fill us with that light. Show us the truth. Help us distinguish truth from error. And help us to share that light with the rest of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, you don't need to do that. I think you guys have, what do you guys have next?